Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the DS Smith pre-close statement hosted by Miles Roberts. My name is Antje, and I will be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Miles Roberts to begin today's conference.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. I am Miles Roberts, the CEO of DS Smith, and I'm joined by Steve Dryden, our Group Finance Director. So this morning, we are pleased to release our pre-close trading statement. And I would like to take a few minutes to run through the highlights of that statement, after which Steve and I are delighted to take any questions that you have. But before getting into some of the detail, I'll say that we really are very pleased with the substantial operating, financial and strategic progress made by DS Smith in the last year. It has been a transformational period, not only for the group, but for everybody who works in DS Smith. We've strengthened our commercial proposition to our major customers, from whom we continue to receive a positive reaction. In addition, the new management structures are working well, and we have been encouraged by the level of employee engagement across the enlarged group. So in terms of trading and looking at the group as a whole for the financial year, we expect to deliver operating profit fully in line with expectations, but with earnings per share towards the higher end of expectations. Revenues are expected to be around £3.7 billion, which is a near doubling of the size of DS Smith. As in previous announcements, the original DS Smith business really has continued to outperform not only the market, but the average for the group. But we're now starting to see an improving trend in the XSCA packaging businesses as we apply our expertise, systems and structures and continue to get a positive reaction from our customers. We continue to make strong progress in the early delivery of synergies associated with the integration, and we're on track to deliver cost and cash synergies as previously advised, but with about £40 million of cost synergies this year versus the original guidance of £25 million. We also expect to return above the cost of capital in the first 10 months to the 30th of April, a year earlier than we originally announced with the SCA acquisition. The business continues to generate strong cash flow, and we expect net debt to EBITDA to be below 2x by the 30th of April. Steve and I would now welcome any questions you may have, and I remind you that our full year results are on the 27th of June. So as far as 2013-14 and the outlook, that's more for the full year results today, but I would highlight that we're saying we look forward to delivering substantial progress next year. Questions?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. The first question comes from Alexander Mees from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just a couple of quick questions for me. The first one, could you make some comments on the end markets as you're seeing them at the moment, and also your share of those markets? Are you gaining market share at all?
Yeah, look, we're principally in Europe. Our main markets are UK, France, Italy, Germany, then Eastern Europe, principally Poland. And Europe overall remains very challenging. I think the second half of the 2012 was more difficult than we expected. And I think that's really been led in France. The second half of last year, there was just a noticeable sort of downtick. I think we saw it in Germany in the final quarter as well. And then coming to the first quarter of this calendar year, we see things remaining difficult. Italy is slightly negative, France is, Germany is stuttering a bit. UK's been flat, not particularly better or worse, and Eastern Europe continues to move ahead very well. So difficult markets and overall GDP is down. We expect that to continue. We're not seeing any lights, any tunnels, etc. At all. We've always thought that, we've planned for it, but it has been, I'll say it has been a little bit worse than we were perhaps hoping for, even though we planned for a difficult position. In terms of our market shares, well, we've grown ahead of GDP. We're positive growth. We've seen the original DS Smith business, which is primarily UK, France and Italy, grow very nicely. Therefore, and Italy and Eastern Europe, and therefore that has continued to take share. We've seen the SEA business really starting to move from having quite a few years of some modest declines in volume and market share. We're starting to see that flatten out now, and as we get into it. So overall, we have, across Europe, we have made a modest gain in market share. It's not huge, but then we've had to reverse the situation of FCA, so it's a modest gain in share. But of course, we're more able to fly the pan-Europeans. We are highly credible. They desperately want leadership in this industry, and we continue to get a positive response. So a lot of hard work, huge amount to do, but we're getting a positive reaction. Is there anything else you've found that, Steve?
No, that's a good summary of all the markets that we're in.
Okay.
Great. And then just secondly, maybe a question more for Steve. Just with regard to the changes to IAS 19 pension accounting, I know you've given guidance in the past, but I wonder, Steve, could you just remind me what that guidance is for next year's financing costs?
Yeah, so that change of IAS 19, and that you have to show the expected return on assets at the same rate as the how you charge the return on the cost of the liabilities. I think the guidance we've given, some of the analysts have reflected it, and you can see there's a marked move as you look at the different people's models. Some people have either got 11 in, or they've got 6 in. In other words, 6 is the same as this year's charge. So people just need to factor in that there's an increase for IAS 19 of about 4 million on the finance line and about 2 million on the operating profit. I think that's no different to any company whose year end starts after the 1st of January 2013. So it'll affect us on the 1st of May 2013.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of David O'Brien from Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, David O'Brien from Goodbody. Could I just get some colour perhaps on trends you're seeing in OCC pricing, kraftliner pricing, and also then into corrugated box?
Yeah. Because we have far less paper than we need, it's all about the relationship with the customer and how we pass it on, whether it's positive or negative. What we're sort of seeing, it's a little bit, the thing is it sort of changes week to week. We have seen some increases in fibre, modest, but there have been a few little tick-ups recently. We've seen some increase in paper prices, in OCC and kraft, but it does tend to move around quite a lot. Exactly where it's going to go, we're unsure. If they increase, then we'll need to the relationship we have with our customers, we'll be looking to pass that on. If it reduces, then obviously we'll be passing that benefit on to our customers as well. So we have seen some uptick, but it's very, very difficult to call where it's going to go, because the end markets remain very soft. And obviously when things like craft increase, all we do is replace craft with OCC. So it's a little bit of a fluid situation at the moment. The end markets remain weak, and so I don't think we're going to see any sustained increases, but difficult to call.
Okay, and just one comment, maybe H1 seen, I suppose, very strong performance in working capital. Can you maybe give us a comment on how that's performed in H2?
Yeah, we'll continue. I think in H1 we knocked off quite a lot of the easy things in terms of the FCA working capital, and we also continue to make improvements on the DS Smith working capital base. I think in H2 we'll continue to make improvements on both of them. The big challenge is always inventory, and that's the hardest to achieve, but it's also the one that's obviously the strongest position that you can do if you can make your whole supply chain more efficient. So I think really what we're starting to work on in H2 is on inventory, which does take longer, but there's a significant opportunity there.
Great, thanks very much.
Next question comes from David Phillips from Citi. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can I just ask about revenue losses from existing customers? At the time of SCE, you flagged that there was some contingency in your numbers from customers who may not decide to come across, but it looks like that's been a bit better than expected. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, when we, in some regions, there was some overlap, and we did assume that we would lose some business. And indeed, in some areas where we've had sort of a huge proportion of a customer's business, there have been, they've introduced another supplier. However, that's the amount that we suffered from has been less than we expected. And indeed, the conversion over has been slower. And we continue to grow. So in fact, these numbers that we're seeing are despite some overlap, but it's very modest, our actual determined exit of business that SCA had that is not in the interest of shareholders. And we've previously announced we deliberately exit business amounting to about 4% of their turnover. That's in there as well. You've had the difficult markets, and we've continued to grow. So it is a challenging backdrop, but as we said, we continue to receive a very positive encouragement from our customers, because they want leadership in the industry. They're desperate for it.
Yeah.
And we're now able to give that, and we're getting a very nice response.
Yeah. Would you put a figure on growth at your largest customers, the top 30? Is that materially better than the GDP plus one?
Yeah. I mean, look. You know, our major growth is the large guys has and continues to outstrip the average of the group. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good proposition, and you'll see our return on capital as well. You know, you'll see the returns we make on our business. We believe it's very attractive. It's not winning business at any cost, at any price. This is about winning business that's attractive, that adds value to our customer and adds value to our shareholders.
Yeah.
So you're going to see that in the return on capital. But we will outline more about this in the first half of next year. We'll talk a lot more about it, because it's such an exciting area.
Yeah. And just quickly, last one from me. On SCA settlement accounts, I mean, is there any timeline you can give us on that, or any more colour?
Oh, no. Yeah, look, I think we're going through and we're sort of kicking things off. And some of these issues are long-term liabilities around environmental costs, etc. And we're going through and sorting them out. I mean, there's not going to be any sort of great rush, etc. I mean, it's just sort of going through it. And we're fine with that. That's what it is.
Okay, but don't expect anything too imminent, you know, before the results or anything like that.
Well, no, I mean, I think we should understand more about this. And what we have here, there's some long-term liabilities we have, and we are just sorting out the exact, just making sure that we're getting the money that we should get for those. There's some things that I think will be settled in the shorter term, some things will be longer, because they can take 10 years to come out.
Okay.
You know, these are long-term liabilities on some of them. It's not going to be some massive sort of dollop of money. I mean, people say, well, we'll pay for the liability as and when it comes out, and that's absolutely fine with us. I mean, this is the danger of these things when they sort of get outside, they get into the press, not everybody understands all the issues behind them, and as I said, some of them are longer term liabilities, but some of them are shorter, and all the work's ongoing, just as you would expect.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Mike Murphy from Numis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, morning guys, two questions please. First of all, when you say we're seeing an improving trend in the FCA packaging business, are we talking volume there on a quarterly basis and or improved added value with those businesses? Yeah. And then secondly, on the cost savings, I mean, I suspect you'll be giving us an update in June, but you previously guided it was 100 million and that balance, well, 25 million by the end of April 2013. Well, clearly that's come in at 40, with the balance spread evenly over the following 2 years. It looks as though you're considerably ahead of that guidance. If you can add something to that at this stage, that'd be helpful.
Mm. Look, if I take the first one, and Steve, you come back on the synergies. With SCA, when we're saying the progress, it is in its market proposition, and we've had a business there that has lost quite a bit of share over the modest year on year over the last sort of 5 years, and other people, other suppliers have benefited from that. But we're now actually seeing it, that rate of decline basically started to slow from the day we took the business over, and we're now starting to see an improving trend. Our whole proposition is stronger. In terms of added value, depends how you look at it, because of course we've got the synergies, and what we're seeing is the profitability or the added value of the SCA business on a sort of a constant market background is improving as well. But that's a constant market background, and there are always sort of short-term buffeting from a number of issues like input cost, etc. But in terms of the value that we're adding from the business we're winning, it's certainly improving on a level field, most certainly. No, we're pleased with that.
Yeah, Mike, on the cost synergies, obviously you'll remember we delivered 13 in the first half, that was in the first quarter of ownership.
40
of cost synergies for the full year. So clearly we're pleased at the rate that's coming through, and you're right to say that's ahead of the initial guidance of the 25 that we expected. So we're pleased there. But I think the time to give you the update on the cost synergies, but don't forget also the cash synergies, we'll do that at the full year results.
Okay. No guidance. Obviously it's all going to come in June.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Clearly, we're very pleased with the rate of the cost and the cash synergy delivery.
Okay.
The next question comes from the line of Hector Forsyth from Oriel. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. A couple of questions. The first one is just on the cost synergies. Just asking in a little way for a little bit more guidance. It's clearly the accumulation of a number of projects that you're running through. Are you seeing individual projects yielding a little bit more than you were expecting? And are you seeing smaller opportunities for cost savings coming through as you're progressing in terms of new projects, etc.?
Yeah, Hector, I think... To me, I think there's two things to think about. As we integrate the business and get to work with the management teams in the individual countries a lot more, we're finding out they're coming up with ideas and synergies of how the two businesses should be put together. So, in a sense, almost
the longer we own the business, the more we know and the more ideas, and we can see opportunities to improve the combined businesses. So that's one factor in there. I think the other factor is, you know, some of our businesses have had a very challenging time, and there's nothing like a challenging time to make you work faster and harder to look for synergies, and that's something else that's come through. So there's a combination of owning the business, working with people for longer to find more synergies in the enlarged group, and secondly, as the environment tougher, that forces you to go faster in terms of some of your synergy delivery plans.
Just one thing to add to that, I think when we look at the individual projects, they've all delivered as we originally assessed. And I think the actual success rate has been very high in delivering what we said we would deliver. And then, as Steve says, more projects have come forward from the good sort of employee engagement that we've had. I have to say, I'm particularly pleased on the execution ability of the company. We saw it in O'Toole, we saw it in disposing of Spices, and we've seen it again with the integration of FCA, about how the projects are targeted, how they're run, how they're managed, and how people deliver what they said they're going to. And that creates the resilience of the company.
Fantastic. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. And then just tidying up one from you, Miles. Can you say anything on the progress of finding a new finance director?
Well, it's coming on quite well. Obviously, it's a difficult thing to say. We're looking for a hard act to follow. But as you'd expect, we're an exciting company for people to join. We do. We've got a very positive outlook in terms of moving the group forward and further development of the group. And we are going through that. But it's fine. Unfortunately, sometimes it's just amazing how long it can take just diaries and getting people together and different parts of the board. So it's coming along absolutely fine, and we'll make an announcement in due course. But everything in the company is going along as you'd expect.
Fantastic. And the final wrap-up one for me is, do you have a date yet for the presentation that you said you're going to do in H1?
Yeah.
Provisionally, we're looking at the 5th or 6th of September.
Right, fantastic. And that's to run through the deal and the revenue synergies, etc.
Absolutely.
All right, fantastic.
What the proposition is going to be for the market, and talking more about that, where we're standing, how we see that playing with our large customers, and then obviously how we see that, what does that mean for shareholders.
All right, wonderful. Thank you.
No, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Katrina O'Grady from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Just one quick one for me. You mentioned earlier about some modest cost inflation coming through. Can you just touch on the progress that you're making on bringing down the pass-through time at SCA? And on the back of that, how do we think about kind of the outlook for kind of quarterly profitability in terms of that little squeeze?
Yeah, there is some input. And as you say, SCA have longer contracts than the original DS Smith, and that work is coming. It is coming along. I think we're going to have to. We don't have the final figures for the full year. We'll know those by the time we announce. So progress is certainly being made, but I can't give you a figure for the to expect where we're going to be. It's a it's more than to have to wait for the full results to give you that.
Okay,
but you're right. But it is longer than DS Smith, so
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
The next question comes from Justin Jordan from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen, and I have to say well done on overachieving on the cost and cash synergies. I've got a quick sort of follow-up question to, I think, David O'Brien's of earlier. If you look at, I guess, benchmark PICS indices, year-to-date, we've seen pulp, OCC, and test liner prices all up about 5%. I'm just wondering whether you could share with us, you've talked about, you know, input cost pressures, but what sort of box price increases have you been able to achieve with customers in light of that input cost pressures? And just the timing in terms of your ability to pass through increased raw material prices to customers in terms of increased product prices, and just whether that's leading to a, excluding the benefit of the cost synergies and savings, a margin squeeze within the business currently.
Well, one of the features of our business model is that we are short in paper, and when the price of paper goes up, we do have to recover it, and that does, in the original DS Smith business, that will cause a contraction of 3 months. Paper prices, as I said earlier, they have risen modestly. There are a few things we can do about that. Kraft goes up, so we replace Kraft with Test. The performance is the same. We are principally in a tertiary packaging, and our customers are very happy to accept that. So there are quite a few things we can do to mitigate these increases, but ultimately, in some contracts, it does mean that prices have to change. Some of those contracts are negotiated, in which case we're out there and we're talking. Some of them are on indices, and some of them have just come up for renewal on a part of the negotiation when they come up. I think, you know, again, for the full year, we always outline this in terms of cost inflation and price recovery, but the recent price increases come on the back of a period of falling paper prices. So we've actually seen box prices fall. We've recently seen some modest increases in paper prices. So whilst that will come through into box prices, there is the customary delay there, and we're seeing that. Now, for us, we know these things happen. We plan on these basis. We've got our cost synergies, etc., coming through and a growing business. But if there is a sustained increase in the price of paper, then we will have to go out and get price increases, which we've always successfully achieved in the past. And that will cause typically a 3 month squeeze. But we have to see where paper goes. So 5% isn't enough. It's more than that, you need. And we haven't seen a sustained increase in the price of paper yet.
Thank you. I just want to follow up, if I may. Obviously, you've set out your stall very clearly in terms of being a short paper business. Mm. Does that strategically leave the board thinking about further mill disposals?
Yes, it does.
Within any sort of particular time period?
Yeah, we have an ambition to reduce our paper from currently about 65-70% of our paper that we need is produced internally, and we'd like to get that down below 50%. Our Q3 IMS highlighted the issues with paper. The return on capital on these businesses, we just don't think is attractive to shareholders, and therefore we are looking as to how we can get back to where we have historically been at below 50% of our paper needs produced internally. We'll come back and explain exactly how we're going to do that in the coming year.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Kartik Swaminathan from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi there, Kartik Swaminathan from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Just had a quick question. If you could please remind us of the seasonality across your different geographies and how that might have changed post the integration of SCA. I ask because you've got quite a lot of synergy realization coming through, and that somewhat obscures the underlying performance. But just any kind of color on that would be helpful.
Yeah, Kartik. I gave some guidance to this at the half year results announced in December, in the sense that traditionally DS Smith would have been somewhere between 55 and 60% of the first half. but because of the acquisition of FCA, sorry, the reason it's 55, it's not first half weighted, there's inherently more energy energy cost in the second half, and also in terms of selling days and activity levels, etc. The other reason, but for this financial year, it was more 50-50 was the guidance we gave, because if you think that this year we had 6 months of FCA in the second half and only 4 months in the first half.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
And then you then go to, if you want to then go by divisions, you then have to assess which divisions have got no paper, Nordics, or which divisions, which regions have got some paper, so UK, a little bit in Germany, a little bit in Italy, and nothing in Eastern Europe. You have to be able to factor in the energy equation.
Great, thank you.
Currently have no further questions in the queue. Please be reminded, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. There are no further questions, so I will hand you back to your host to close today's conference.
Well, firstly, thank you everybody for your time this morning. We do appreciate it. But in summary, looking further ahead, it is a very challenging environment, and there are some early signs that seems very recent signs in paper pricing increasing, but we anticipate further growth in our packaging business as we really leverage off our enlarged and strengthened geographic footprint and further develop our commercial position, particularly with our strong European customers. So we are looking for substantial progress next year and look forward to updating you more on that on the 27th of June. Thank you everybody for your time.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's conference call. You may now replace your handsets.